Galatians says that if the two interpretations of the new birth, because the new birth includes the identification. Colossians is the risen life, the resurrection. Galatians is the cross. Colossians is the resurrection. If you then be risen with Christ, Peter says the love, Christ is our life. Christ is all and in all. And the philosophy of the thesis, of course, you know, is the ascended life. When we've left our cross identification, our resurrection identification behind, and therefore the relationship between the seated, which is literally completely settled and finished. But not seated in the sense of inactivity, because he is the activity. God totally active, so are we. We're seated in the sense of a certain understanding who I am that settled, crucified with me. And the seating is the evidence of that big completion. Having left that behind, we move into new level of action. Therefore, the throne life is the outgoing life, the reproducing life. And it's from the throne the Holy Ghost goes out as a third person. Either the third person in us, now the third person by us. So it says he led, what is he also, when you say it up on high, he led captivity captives. That's the previous one, the devil's captives become his captives. That's the cross of resurrection. And gave gifts unto men. That's the Holy Spirit equipping us for action. That's where the gifts are. All the gifts come in there. It's forms by which the Holy Spirit moves into action by us, the saving action. That's all. So I take it those four letters. Present us with the total truth first in a general completed form in Romans, and then in broken up into detail in Galatians, followed by Ephesians, followed by Colossians, followed by Ephesians. How we relate to the cross, how we relate to resurrection, how we relate to ascension, or where we are in them. Philippians is a letter of the permanent personal condition of the own person, which is joy. it's a personal letter. It tells greatly about itself. And his joy experience in his ascended life. His ascended life being his intercessory life. I don't know what more to say.
I often get, this might be wrong in there, but people often come back and quote to me, I tell you something about forgetting what's behind, I press forward, you know, to things. They quote that to me. And I was as striving to accomplish something.
Forgetting what's behind, I press forward to the...
Yeah, the point being that I asked him about this, maybe some of you had it privately, but just to get it out. His last statement there about this is Paul's intercessory life was helpful because he said this is not a pressing forward to show how grateful you are for being saved or to attempt to pay back, you know, that merit kind of thing. But he's talking there about his intercession life. He's pressing forward, pressing out as an intercessor. Would you comment on that just a little bit? Because I think anybody who does any teaching often faces those other passages of Scripture that imply self-effort. And that is one of them. And your answer to me was helpful. But of course, you can see I was very sketchy in giving it to you. So would you amplify that? That's Philippians 2.
Perfection is the completion of the purpose of God by us, not in us. It says, not that I'm already perfect. That's not referring to inner perfection. It refers to the completion of the outer product, what God does by me. That's what it says in Hebrews, that Christ's perfection was having learned obedience to the things he suffered, being made perfect, he's able to bring all others into that same relationship out from him. That's what that perfection is. Knowing a son, learn the obedience of things you suffer, being made perfect. He became the author, that's the perfection, of salvation unto all that obey him. His perfection was to bring other people into what he got. And that's an incomplete perfection. Because that only finishes when our father's interest confirmed and our human life finishes. He's referring to in the Philippians when he uses as the whole scripture does the threefold level, and he said he had been a lost person. For his loss is of course his selfhood, self-centeredness. I might have consciousness of flesh. Any man has to think that he has. Well, we might trust the flesh, I'm all. That's self-centered self. All his value is himself. Plainly. Could circumcise the 8th day, flock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee, turning the heel, touching the church, touching the righteousness which the law blames. A perfect selfhood, a perfect devil. Perfect devil, a perfect self-sufficient self. In all its level of perfection, his level of perfection was a perfect self-righteousness. That's a perfect devil. And he says, So the first step, what things were gained to me, that was like I had lost for Christ. That he saw the devilishness of that false perfection. By contrast with Stephen. That's why it's our lives to convict other people. But when he was headed up with Stony of Stephen, and when Stephen was being had these stones poured on him, he was a dying man, all this business was on his knees, he looked to heaven and he said, "I see Christ standing by the right hand of God," and so on. And then the last thing he said, "Lord, lay not these sins to thy charge." That got him. His love was to destroy Stephen. God's love in Stephen was to save his enemies. Got him. Out of love. He didn't want his enemies to go to hell. Paul wanted his enemy to go to hell. He's all different. And that's the gold, you kicked against the pricks, kicked against the gold all those years. Inside Paul, all those months, it's got him. And because he's an intense man, he intensely reacted. So intense reaction is very healthy. It's a good sign. So intense reaction of murdering the Christians. To escape this inner goad. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're off beam. Because he was built about what of a sincere man. And this self-loving, self-elevating self, making much of your Jewishness and your temple and this is a lie. And the treasure of the love of Christ, what is gained to me, those are kind of lost to Christ. When he got the vision of the love of Christ, come to him, same as he came to Peter, from the heavens. And this voice said to him, "Saul, Saul, what persecutest thou me?" And he caught the meaning of love. He caught the meaning of eternal love. Through Stephen, in Christ. That was his gain. To be accepted and received as the redeemed son by Christ. But then he had to move on from being an accepted self to finding who he truly was, a Christ self. Not Christ for him, but Christ as he, being he. And for that he had to go through a painful process of which he had to experience the cross. He received the benefit of Christ's cross. What is gained to me, though that I lost the Christ, justification to Christ's cross. Now he had to experience the cross. And he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Not just my self-righteousness. All I am, all I have, all things but loss. Not just my own egohood in the sense of my pride and self-judgment and all that. For the exceeding realization of Christ my Lord. Meaning Christ has taken me over. He's the me. He's the one running inside. Not I my Lord, Christ my Lord. That exceeding new stage. That he was this person. His whole being was to be this person. That cost him all things. Who must suffer the loss of all things. So it cost him. So there was a hurt there in that dying. And whatever forms it took, being cast out of his own people and everything else, whatever it cost him. But personal hurt. Talk about personal hurt there. He suffered the loss of all things. So it cost him to lose them. That's the next stage when you've found the treasure of life, but precious is life, being He. He being you. Christ is my Lord, not just my Savior. My Lord's implication, he's the one on the show now. He's the I. Instead of I being my Lord, own Lord, or Satan being my Lord, Jesus Christ not just my Savior, he's my Lord. So the...
Is this a cost that you are real conscious of, or is it really other people who see the cost more than you do? In other words, I don't think you sense that your life has such a tremendous cost. You've done what you had to do, what you wanted to do, and I suppose objectively there might have been a cost, but do you really yourself see it as a great price you paid giving all to Jesus, or don't other people see that cost about 10 times as much as you do?
I would think in saying that I contributed, the price I paid as an intercessor, and the price I paid to discover the union. This is the preliminary price he paid. I think he paid it in those 3 days, when he learned he would suffer many things for my sake, before the Holy Ghost. I don't know. I mean, this price I'm now talking about, this costly price, isn't the cost of having lost all things. Now you're burned out, you'll become a living sacrifice. That's another kind of suffering. That's the second Corinthians suffering. That's the intercessory suffering.
Okay.
That's what he calls my light affliction. The death of light to him. This wasn't light to him. In other words, there is a place where it costs us to die. Or to finally die. Isn't that right?
Amen.
It costs. That's all. Sometimes, well, it costs. What I'm going on to say is this. The whole point of this is, he turns right round and he lowers the thought of things he once loved. This is the third. Because where he said here, I count all things but loss for the excellence of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I suffered the loss of those things. Now, and do count them but dung. Dung is offensive. Dung is manure. Not very pleasant space. Those things are very pleasant. Those things are pleasant. I don't want to lose my reputation. I don't want to lose my identity. I want to lose them. And I'm losing things that have a pleasant smell to me. They turn around now and have a pleasant smell to me as a radical change. So the values of life have changed. Now this is the third one, that's not the second. The second is discovering it. He is my life, or my me, my all. Which has had a cost in it. And then that cost is gone. I agree, then it's gone. There's been that. And then you moved into this life, but it's you, but then when you move to this life, this new life, you're so sold out to others having it. Anything that's done to you, but not in complete bother with it, it's offensive to you. It has to waste your life. Not on daily duties, that's part of the way God comes through, but in things which are my interests, values of life have changed. So everything I have becomes part of something for others. Like your life being, like John and Linda's on their home, it's for others. It would be effective for them just to run a big show and have a nice home, or you to accumulate your money. You can't do it. It's become down to you. But there was a time you liked it. And that's why I had to die. But once I had died, somewhere that cost. Hate not. There is a place. You hate not father, mother, wife, children, houses, lands, yea, own life also. All that he has. Cannot be my son. What you really hate is that self-love, which is that love of not that. Well, it's the completion of that end of self-love in Christ. But that love which is still attached to things and people, father, mother, wife, children, houses, and their things. Well, they're not my salvation now, but they're things. And the son is said, I'm still attached. Now that's the detachment. That's the middle attachment. So radical, because Jesus uses such radical terms. We wouldn't say hate, we just say dislike. Jesus saw in total terms, he's a total person. And to say you hate your father and your mother and your wife and your children, your houses, your lands, yet really we do. Actually done it, because when the chips are down, we do it. When the chips are down, we'll sacrifice anything for Jesus. We want to be helped, but if the tips are there, we'll do it. Which is the hate? It's the same hate that Jesus had when his mother and brethren tried to get him out of this, all the crowds around him, thought he was getting fanatical. The civil centurion, he said, I don't see you. Who am I? You're my brother and my brethren. Who do the will of God? I reject my mother, for I hate them. His own mother, the same mother whom he commended to John's care on the cross, was the mother who a few years ago said, I have nothing to do with you. You're not my mother. You shouldn't love my mother. That's strong religion. That's Jesus. That's radical. And so, basically, there is a hate, because love is hate, of course. It has to hate that which combats love. So this is, I'm trying to say, I think that's the second one. It's, I hope, something we've gone through and passed out of. But as we look back, there was a certain area which was a costly business. But now the very things which we might at that time have a costly business, we laugh at keeping. Not only laugh, we don't want them. They're offensive to us. They're annoying. They're wrong to us. They're hindrance to us. We don't want them. We want everything with Jesus. That, the curious thing is, of course, when you enter Jesus, you do everything back. That's the paradox. You come back into Paul's 1 Corinthians 2, when 3, when he says, when you are Christ, in other words, you are Christ now, when you take me over, then for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or all the world, all ours, all life, all death, all things present, all things others, all things come, all are yours, twice over. Not all are not yours, all are yours. It's sort of the paradox. You host them, you get rid of them, then you get more back. Because you want to rob them. Because the main theme behind behind all personal enjoyment is that maybe some need to others. That's true, that's what union life is. That's what we're moving into. Dan and I were saying last night, it's a radical basis. Last night we've been here, not many of us sort of say, I'm related to this union life or something, but what we're saying is, you can't be a person who you're not you but Christ without being a perfect other. See your nature, because that's his only nature. It's not, so you are father, it's got to come out. And you may, if it isn't you, not your home, or not your business, or not, you've got it all back, that's another. So it's what the world can't see, because you get everything back, another. Then you've got the whole lot back, because they're not for you. And there's something in you which has released you, and you know they're not for you. And you know, if they begin to be so, you'll have to get, I'm not taking that, you take. Imagine that. Now that's the beginning of the third.
Is this an experience of the unification period? You said a minute ago, and I was right, so I'm asking sorry, you said this is in the second level. Is this death in the experience of I live, yet not I
live? Yes, that's it. And there's a cost in it. I suffer, and also I don't like it. Uh-huh. It really hurt. That's a baby. It's an adolescent. Yeah, and we look back now and tell others. We say, that cost me something. We try to describe how it cost us in different ways. That's the value of our testimony, isn't it? Sure, that cost me something, but thank God now. I say thank God. I did say thank God then. Thank God now. It's out. But that's only setting me in. That's only putting me out. The meaning of me in, of course, it is costing me. Now, this other has become the third. Because you are in this free person position, this is no longer home. You're interested in having a home for yourself. Have a nice home if you like, but not yourself. Not just having more money. Have all you can get, not yourself. You change right round. But paradoxically, if you can be a wealthy man or a well-to-do man or okay, because you have a wink. It takes to you. The world may think it is, it didn't. But the new drive got you. Now in this new drive, there'll be other forms of death. Now this is other death. This is the death that the Paul coveted participating in. He now said, I counted the dung, this thing's gone around, turned around in me, so the things were, I once like, ooh. Now he said, that's my will in Christ. Now my attitude changed, my interest changed, my interest totally changed from making money, doing this, doing that, as an end to itself. I changed that, and I will in Christ. Now Christ was the the deity for others. The Holy Deity is for others. I may win the Christ. Win means be like. You won the prize. It's your prize now. Not now a prize of a person saying to you, that's out, that stuff's gone. We always say, out of the position which you're depending on God, you become a pro-God. He's your permanent bread and all that stuff, that's out. That's why we don't always pray stuff. That's out. Because that's it which has a form of dependence in it. Now you're winning Christ. You won the prize, you won it now, and the prize is Christ. Not something he gives you, himself, but Christ a Savior. Christ a Savior. He's totally other. His deity. He's renounced his deity totally to be us. If I'm not mistaken, he never gets it back again. If I'm not mistaken, there's a sense in which the deity itself is unique and can't be understood. Because he's only understand by the opposite. There's no opposite of deity. So the original one, as the Father, Son, Spirit, we don't know. We don't know. This is the eternal original one. When you come out, you will lose something. You limit yourself. You come out to be other people. Limit yourself. Now, it says that Jesus counted not robbery to be equal with God. And then it says, he made himself of no reputation, in Greek it entered himself, took upon himself the form of servant. Now, the form of servant, that's the Philippian one, is not serving us. It means a general service. Because he comes before he became a man. It doesn't say he became a man, took upon himself the form of servant. Before he became a man. He made himself of no reputation. He thought not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. What is God in a certain unique sense in the eternal deity? We don't know that. Now he emptied himself, made himself no reputation, Philippians 2:7, and took upon himself the form of servant. That's his permanent form. And then was made like to men. So he was a servant, the pose of a man. So he took upon his whole, his expression of God, the servant expression, in which he's identified as those so he's a pilot, but the Lord and the servant, with those who he serves. I'm seeking to say that something happened to Jesus before he ever was Jesus, when he was the Word, and then became the Son, the only Jesus on earth. To fulfill the apparently eternal purpose, which that he was forever to be man number one, or enjoyed a lot of things that Sonny was bringing into scriptures. He brought out yesterday that man number two, he's the last Adam and the second man, and the first man's out, the second man, the real man. Adam was the first man. He became a man because forever the deity is manifested by his main agents. And the first main agent is his Son. And so you get that so often in Scripture, you know, little things set in, don't you? Which a great phrase, they have a great revelation in it. In that one little phrase, in one Christian, it's not said quite like that anywhere else, where it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So here's the risen person called the man, not the crucified, not the human person. It's the risen one, the mediator, the man Christ Jesus.
Pardon?
1 Corinthians 2:6. So, of course, he's the eternal man. Now, I'm only getting at all this a little bit to show the whole of his life, therefore, is has a hidden basis of renunciation. I say hidden because if you take too much like renunciation to us is rather unpleasant word. We don't easily see the glory in renunciation, the hidden basis of it. My man who meant to us to be Son, he used to make little doggerel poems. He had one, take my life and let it be a hidden cross revealing thee. So it didn't cross up in the front. Take my life and let it be a hidden cross, a great deal mixed up in there, and revealing thee. So I'm saying that therefore Christ permanently become that. He's the clothing of the top man universe. And in that sense remains second to his son, to his father. Now that doesn't fit unless you make room for these things. It said he carries not robbery to be equal with God. And yet in the final word used, forgiveness, in 1 Corinthians 15 is that and when all for he has put all things under his feet. The last enemy, he was slain, Jesus, until he put all things, all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that should be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he has accepted, which did put the all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him to put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So we're left with the equal Son become a subject. That may be that. I'm only trying to say something of the involvement in a life which is involved that other people live. This is the third order. And therefore I'm saying winning Christ means that. Winning a person means you are now what that person is. That person is a saviour. Not just a convenient saviour for me, is the world saviour. That I may win Christ. And be found in him. Now if they beautifully preserves, it's all he, not one day if they keeps off the law. He said, it doth become this, found in him, not having my own righteousness, not having built up by myself, which is of the law, not back there on that self-effort stuff, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I am what I am in Christ, because Christ is that, I'm that. Now, you do it by becoming something. I'm that because Christ is that, therefore I'm that. He then tries to preserve the right percent of the third here. So don't run back in the third, say, now I must become better, now I must be used. You don't run back to now, and I must get going. He's very careful to preserve a preservation from law effort to it all being Christ, right in the heart of his third development. And that's why he says, that may win Christ, and be found in him, not him, I should say so, I may know him, and the power of his resurrection. So that's what we're always doing. It's a permanent involvement in fresh discovery. Always fresh discovering who we are, what he is, how we operate. It's adventure, fresh discovery, knowing him in that sense, knowing him as being him. Not now saying knowing him as Savior or Lord or that, knowing him as in his eternal purposes, moving into what he says to the Father, that he life and that you may know him that is from the beginning. Is that right? Is this? So then, and the power of resurrection. Now I've got to learn how to operate by this holy new power. Now it's all part of knowing how to operate. This is the faith that we're told how to see nothing except as expression of God. I'm only learning. I learn a lot by learning. That's why I was so keen to. I thought about learning. This is the kind of thing learning you talk about. That the power of the resurrection, you operate. You only in every situation you move back into what he is. You move back from the first appearance, first outer appearance. We need to discuss that here. Meaning we're operating on this faith level, which is fact level. We think that's so. That's here. That's here. That's here. We're dropping the word faith out and replacing it by fact, the fact level. That's it. That's what the first word of faith is. So the word of faith is saying a fact is a fact. We're all learning that out. Now that's part of this thing. Know him and begin to learn how to be healed on earth. Walk this spirit life in matter form. And the person who suffers. Now here's a new type of suffering. This is in the letter, in the book form, the letter form, where 2 Corinthians comes in. Second Corinthians is the opening up of the intercessor, what it really means to be an intercessor. What your whole inner attitude, your outer actions, relation to others, what the price you pay, the whole business is there. There's a great deal of suffering, great deal of pressure in Paul doesn't balk it. He comes up on the other side, it's a matter of glory in suffering. A great deal of suffering, a great deal of glory. And so his point in 2 Corinthians is, we're changing the image from glory to glory, it's a glory letter. But he doesn't balk the fact. Your pressure on every side, all that list of suffering you went through, punching without, tears within, earth and vessel, persecuted, not forsaken, perplexed, but not in despair, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing by the way the dying of the Lord Jesus. That the life living, dying means, of course, I'm ceasing to see for something, which is, replacing my negative responses I must have when something's costed, something's hurt, to the positive which is Christ in me. In my body shows it. Christ has manifested my body. I always say about the body, the lying Lord Jesus. Christ has manifested my flesh. Your body shows it. Shows the glory, I mean, shows the victory. Always saying about the body, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. He's talking about the body, the physical sufferings now. The life also may be of Jesus, may be manifested in my body. For we live always delivered on the death for Jesus' sake. And the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. No, then death worketh in us a life in you. Now that's the power of resurrection. That's the fellowship of sufferings. Now that's what we're put into. That's why we always say, recognize that. This is an involved life. And that's our glory. That it will cost us. This is the intercession of life now. So the intercession, which is the third area, is the sense of commission. We don't go to that now, but we always say intercession means specific commission. Maybe temporary, maybe not something. This is what I am in. This is I accept this. It's my God by me operating out from me into others. And it's on that level we put in those promises, those two, when Paul said, not I live, but Christ is in me, and then he said, the same person is mighty in me to another, so I don't think the marvelous faith. He's mighty, so he's doing the job. It's in me, so it's expressed by me, but it's towards the Gentiles. So it's not what happens here, what happens there. And I'm always saying, when we say that's a fact, don't forget it, and maintain it's a fact. That is happening to you, don't ask how. That's God's business. Don't look around. So this is a given fact of God's business. The same person who's living in me is mighty in me toward others. And somehow that's happening. All I've got to say is happening. This is the same faith business. And we always look at that other scripture in John 7, where it says, if you believe, out of you flow. The very same attitude of faith by which you got saved, which you know the union, is you know the flow of the out. Take it. And operate on that level of faith. Now, how it happens, don't do it. Now, this is the spot. But it does involve the next part of the commission, I do it by you, the body. Intercession is body. Faith is spirit. Intercession is body. It's in the body. And that means in the outer circumstances. And therefore, somewhere or other, there materially involved, as well as spiritually. And it will always be so. I'm so objecting to our mission now. After all, I accepted the word retirement. I said, there's no such thing as redirection. Cut the word out. It's not even worse to hurt people. When you, the ridiculous people, I'm fighting them all the time, they put a time limit 65. What's 65, I said? If you think that, we used to have my own mission, but the one first lesson I learned mission, we had no furlough period. If you do, you count on it. And when you go out 3 years, there's 2 more years I won't go home. Instead of being immersed for the next 2 years for Africa, you're thinking, what time are you going to get home? So don't have, I have a furlough 5 years. They don't have. They say they haven't got that. And they didn't count it after 5 years. Because they're human. And because of what you see. So you have no time when you, I'm coming here 55 now. Well, you're talking, and I'm afraid we have precious workers who, I have some precious workers who have done 15 years. They give you a time at home, they're good people, well, of course they're for marriage, right? They've been married a lot. But we put a wrong connotation on, which I'm trying to change now. So a couple of times, I put redirection. That's just redirection. It may be to be at 70 years old, not to sacrifice your accident. Maybe you're not the best person to do it. Don't retire, we get redirected. So we don't know that, do we? So we don't know that. All our lives now can be permanent redirection. That's the person who suffers. And quickly it's death. That doesn't mean ultimately. For years I went through that, I still do. I used to at certain times in the year, somebody said, now you expect a case to be on the altar. Expect to be on the altar. Make us any further, expect it to finish off. Choose that you will finish off with Jesus. The point is this. He chose it to finish off us. That person's right, not himself. He said, no one took my life from me. So past this whole position, you claim not only the Lord will show through you, but you finish off at the end of it. That your life will be finishing off in the presence of Jesus. Now that's what he's attaining. I never wholly understood what he means by the next one. That I might pay with a resurrection from the dead. I'm not the one who conveys total life to me on that yet. It isn't a resurrection we all had. It's obviously something more. Because we already had the original resurrection. It's got that salvation. So you don't attain it with that, do you? I think there is a certain element in the truth of the Bible that there are those that Bible talks about in the Revelation overcomers who pay. There is a certain area where their life has really been uprooted for God. I think it must mean that. So I haven't got that yet.
Might the word realize resurrection help? Or is it a realization that goes down? Sure, we have been resurrected, but many do not realize it.
Well, I think that
the fellowship of his suffering, etc., etc., there's a greater and greater realization that the kingdom of heaven has come, and we stop looking to the hills from whence comes our help, and we don't look forward to Maranatha, but we know Maranatha has come, it's a realized thing.
Yeah, now, I'm not stopping that, let's stop now, is that it takes away from the power of this message, of the development. From cutting down to winning him, the power, resurrection power, suffering, death. There's something more in it than that realized by the way God. I'm sure something there. He's after claiming it. It doesn't matter, we need it. But back to the original thing of Daniel, isn't where you stop now. That pressure on now then, it's not that I already attained. Oh, I'm already perfect. I'm not perfect as a savior. My perfection is Christ in me, in my life, Christ has me. As a soldier, I've had to be perfected through the years. As far as I'm apprehended, that was the most apprehended, of course, was to be an interest and so on. Pressed towards the mark, that's all. So I'm trying to high calling of God to do that. Among those who were the fellow saviors, the intercessors.
You must have said that the fast I didn't get it. What did you say 12 through 16 was now?
Of what?
That's where I asked you an hour ago. That's pressing on an intercession?
Yes, yes. Part of the high calling of God. And the higher calling is the Savior, we know.
But not pressing on to, but pressing on in.
Right. Just toward the mark of the prize.
What is that?
I think what Paul said is also Philippians 1. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Bag.
Well, you think he's got a little bit of what we psychologists call here the martyr complex?
He's
looking forward to dying for Christ?
It's a good martyrdom. If he dies, he's got a martyrdom. If he's a martyrdom to the world, Christ is a martyr. Yes. and of course not. I'm getting something out of it. But it's not until God's glory in the world, that's the high that's the high glory, I think.
That's it. That's why I was telling you, I always know about being bound in Jerusalem, and I always know that
it's
not
going to
keep me from it.
Yes, you said that. Yes, I think that's right. So Philippians is a kind of plus explanation. Second Corinthians is an intimate reading, like means to be an intercessor. James and John, on other levels, polish off what Paul says. There's a sense in which Peter is the beginner, Paul is the middle, and John and James is the end. Peter began, as he said yesterday, the new birth, on the milk of the word, born again, all that. Didn't enter in at all into union life. Paul opened up what a true being is, union life. And tested within the union life. And he stayed the other as he goes into it. John simply tells you what you are, as such. As I said yesterday, you don't have the word faith in John. Except the last chapter, where he explains faith is fact. All down, I know, you know. Because faith is knowing, and knowing is being. What you know, you are. And so the whole of God, now you know you're walking in the light, you know you're righteous, he's righteous, you know this, you know that. And we operate on that now, we operate that now. And James is saying, therefore, when you are now, you're doing, here the doing. And explaining the conflict, so you don't know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you're double. And James is a double letter, because it's so challenging. You've got two minds, you've got two tongues, you've got two motives, you've got to act you to other people. In your self-image, you've got two ideas of self-image. All that is double. To force us into realizing who we are and not that we're single. And then you act on the single level. The single tongue, and the single eye, and the single mind, and the single motive, the single operation, as you've gone. And those put on the top. And so, different ways. That's enough.